You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Every time my grandmother says nothing good happens after 2 a.m., I remind her that our radio show is on after 2 a.m. in the East Coast, the West Coast, every other coast. So some good things happen after 2 a.m.
You've turned me. I'm in 100% agreement.
What?
You are the greatest broadcast sports journalist of all time.
Amy, you're the most best talk show radio on national radio broadcasting air networks. You're the best.
I appreciate that, though I don't really need you to tell me.
Good morning, Amy.
Morning.
I've been listening to you for the last few months, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Boom.
Yes, boom.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Coverage, and I was even saying this to my husband earlier on Monday. It's been a different type of a summer because generally we're hot and heavy into football training camps and some of the position battles and the various guys that are holding out or seeking new contracts. And because of the Olympics, it's a bit of a slower start to training camp. And I even think the Hall of Fame game, all 2.5 quarters of it, was kind of lost in the Olympics on Thursday because of what was happening in the gymnastics venue in the swimming pool. But pretty soon, football will be back in the center ring of the circus and will be hot and heavy right along with it. And I do mean hot this time of the year. So even as we're asking you, if blank were an Olympic sport, I would capture the gold every time. My goodness, we've been blasted by hundreds of your responses. Angus on Facebook goes with drinking beer. Gene says, if good English grammar were an Olympic sport, I like it. John says, if falling asleep were an Olympic sport, I think I'm jealous of that. Cameron says, if backing up trailers were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every time. So lots of funny answers. You can go and you can check out the thread on Twix, A-Law Radio, or on our show account at Amy After Hours, or you can find it on Facebook, and we'll get back to more of your answers as we head through this hour and the next two here on the Infinity Sports Network After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, the big story, we started with this an hour ago. Brandon Ayuk could potentially be on his way out of the Bay Area, could potentially be a member of another team before we have another show that convenes here on the network. And this kind of started, it was put in motion when he did an interview with the Pivot podcast, and he talked about this idea that he might play somewhere else.
And I just want to move forward. I want to a team to look at me and value me as a top receiver, so I can go out there and continue to do what I do and show them every single day the same way that I've been. That's in fact what I am.
Again, Brandon Ayuk, Niners receiver, at least currently, with the Pivot podcast, talking about wanting to be valued and maybe throwing some shade a little bit there on the team, not liking how the negotiations had gone or feeling like he wasn't offered a deal that would indicate his value to them. And as he was pushed, he started talking about what kind of a system might be the right fit for him.
I believe so because, like I said, I'm a true X. People say system. I'm in Kyle Shanahan's system now, but if you watch any of the catches that I'm getting, I'm beating guys in front of me. I'm beating man covers to get my receptions. I'm not settling in zones. I'm not, or maybe sometimes, but I'm not running across the field, running cross routes or shallow crosses. I'm beating guys in front of me to get the football.
That was about a month ago on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, Channing Crowder, Brandon Ayuk. Not in a forceful way, not openly or overtly critical, but definitely not feeling as though he's valued and indicated that he could thrive in any system. So not that long ago, the Niners allowed him and his team to look for other options and to seek a potential trade, and there are all kinds of rumors and reports flying around on Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us, but also really excited to welcome longtime Niners insider Jennifer Lee Chan from NBC Sports in the Bay Area. Seems like there's been a lot of twists and turns to this path for Brandon Ayuk over the last day or so. What's the latest, Jennifer?
My colleague Matt Maiocco did find out that there are trade formats in place for Brandon Ayuk to either go to the Cleveland Browns or to go to the New England Patriots. The ball is in Brandon Ayuk's court, and he has not made a decision on whether he is going to go to either of those teams or if he's going to stay with the 49ers. So it's all up in the air, and it's really all up to Brandon Ayuk. I mean, the two teams have agreed to terms, and it's just up to him to either sign the contract or say he's staying with the 49ers. It is the most bizarre thing I have witnessed since I started covering the team.
And why is that? How did it get to this point?
Listening to him on the Pivot podcast, he was kind of all over the board. He was like, yes, I want to stay with the 49ers. It's the best place for me. No, if it means that I have to leave to make, you know, the most money as the top wide receiver in the league, then I'm going to leave. He was all over the board. Yes, this is the best place for me. Kyle Shanahan is the best coach. No, I'm going to leave because I want to play with his college quarterback. He wants to play with the Steelers. He wants to play with the Commanders. But now that they're not on the table anymore. So the Pittsburgh Steelers are out. Washington Commanders are out. Because ultimately, if the 49ers are going to deal Brandon Ayuk, they want to get a player in place because they are primed for going back to the postseason. Trading away Brandon Ayuk and not getting anything in return other than draft picks really hurts their prospects. So they've got young wide receivers on the roster, but it hurts their prospects. So they want to get a player in return. So the terms are with the Browns. If Brandon Ayuk decides to go there, the Browns would trade Amari Cooper in his place. Now, the Patriots, you know, for them, they would trade back. I think what it would be is Kendrick Bourne would come back to the 49ers. Now, he's coming off an ACL, so they would have to trade a little bit more draft picks than the Cleveland Browns. But all of these things are in place. And I would think if Brandon Ayuk wants to play with those teams, he would already have signed and gone.
As best you can tell, what is his primary motivation?
It's hard to say. I think he's got to make a choice of whether he wants to stay with the 49ers and maybe play for another Super Bowl, because his chances of going to the Browns or the Patriots, I think, are, you know, a lot less that he'll play in the postseason if he goes there. And then also there's the pressure of, like, okay, if he goes to the Patriots or the Browns, he is the guy. He is wide receiver one. Now, he is wide receiver 1A, 1B with Debo Samuel. And, like, you've got Christian McCaffrey. You've got George Kittle. You've got Kyle Juszczyk. You've got this star-studded team. When you go to those other teams, if he goes to the Patriots or the Browns, he is the guy. Everyone will be looking at him to be making the plays. And he's obviously capable. But he's also losing time right now. He's not in their system. He's not in training camp learning the timing of the quarterbacks or the verbiage of the system. So he's losing time every day that he doesn't decide to go or whether he decides to stay. It's a crazy situation. And really, he's, I would think, if I was in his shoes, I'd be like, okay, if the 49ers make the Super Bowl and I'm with the Browns, I've got a lot of FOMO because I could have been there, right, for a little, maybe a little less money. But how often do you go to the Super Bowl on a team? I mean, like, it's really hard for a team to make it that far. So I'm sure all of those things are weighing on his mind.
Jennifer Lee Chan is with us even as the news is unfolding about Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers. And she covers the team now for over a decade for NBC Sports in the Bay Area. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Forgive me if this is the wrong way to characterize it. It seemed as though the Niners were dug in. Why did they cave on Ayuk and giving him a trade if that's what he wanted?
They were almost agreed. I mean, he said it on the Pivot podcast. He was getting his suit on. He was ready to go. And then, you know, they had a deal in place and then they didn't. So I don't know whether his demands are more than what they can handle. I mean, they do have to pay Brock Purdy next year. They did re-up Christian McCaffrey. They have Trent Williams that's holding out. So there's a lot of balls in the air for the 49ers. So I don't know how much they can give to Brandon Ayuk in this situation. I would think that maybe there's still a deal on the table, but, you know, at one point they were really close to getting it done. And then I think it was Brandon Ayuk that said, no, I don't think that's what I want.
Hmm.
Exactly.
It's interesting because you don't generally have a team that's willing to wait like this for a player to figure out what he wants. As best you can tell, are the Niners just going to wait it out?
I think they would love to have him on the team. And really, they can't do anything. I mean, you know, they can agree to the trade with the Browns, but Brandon Ayuk has to agree to sign the contract, because if they trade him, he's only under contract for 2024. So without a long-term deal in place, that would not be ideal for the Cleveland Browns. So if he doesn't sign a long-term contract with the Browns, they aren't going to go through with the trade. So all of these pieces have to be in place for it to actually go through. So it really is all on Brandon Ayuk right now, whether he decides if he's going to play for the Patriots or the Browns, or if he's willing to, like, reopen the negotiations with the 49ers to stay. And, you know, I would think that the 49ers know that paying Brandon Ayuk $14 million is underpaying him. So I would think if they, you know, want to keep him for this year, the 2024 season, I would think that they would put together a package that says, okay, if you hit these markers, you're going to be incentivized to, you know, up in the $20 million mark for this 1 year. Then they can always franchise tag him for the next year and then figure out a trade. I don't think they're asking him to play in 2024 for $14 million. Also, he has to play somewhere this year. I mean, $14 million also is more than he's made in his past four seasons with the club. So this is his biggest payday. So I would think there's some, you know, the team was willing to work with him to a certain extent. But, you know, when it gets to the point when it's those high 20s, $28 to $30 million, I don't know if they can do it just because of the situation they're in with all the other contracts that they have.
Right. If, in fact, he's not a part of the roster in 24, what do they lose without Ayuk?
I mean, he's been such a reliable target for Brock Purdy. They're on the same page, and he's been there. And, you know, it's also a guy that Kyle Shanahan has worked so hard to get to where he is. I mean, he really is a product of Kyle Shanahan. So he had his rookie year was 2020. It was the COVID year. He was kind of thrown into it because Debo Samuel was hurt. And so he had a decent year. It wasn't amazing, but I think he thought that was it. He was going to automatically be the starter. So then he came back in his second year. You know, he was in the doghouse with Kyle Shanahan, and then he finally kind of turned it around. And so the second half of his second year, third year, and fourth year, he's really been, you know, a vital part of the offense. You know, he is a really good route runner. I mean, he does stuff that no one else on the team does. You know, Juwan Jennings is kind of like the power guy. He's the third down guy. Debo Samuel is the guy that can, you know, also run jet sweeps. That's not what Brandon Ayuk does. He's more finesse. I mean, he's the one guy who's a finesse route runner on the team. So, I mean, they have a rookie in Ricky Pearsall, but he's not to the level of Brandon Ayuk, not yet anyways.
Jennifer Lee Chan is with us from the Bay Area. We spent the first, five, 6 minutes talking about nothing except for Brandon Ayuk, and still don't actually know what's going to happen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Is there any other storyline that's comparable with the Ayuk, will he or won't he get traded?
Well, I mean, there's Trent Williams. You know, he's the anchor of the offensive line. If he doesn't get a deal done, I think that's a huge problem for the 49ers offensive line. I mean, they have good guys there, but Trent Williams is really the guy that leads that group. So I know that that's been kind of in play since like February or March. They've been talking with his representation, but he's still holding out. And it's also weird that, you know, Brandon Ayuk is in the building. He's holding in. So he's been around the facility. He's, you know, every move he makes has been documented. It's been on national TV, you know, the hug with Kyle Shanahan, the handshake with John Lynch. So he's been watching practice. He talked to my colleague, Dante Whitner, while they were watching practice, and he was engaged. He was watching practice, making the calls, like seeing what the defense was going to do. So, I mean, he's involved as much as he can be. He's in the classroom. He's in with the wide receivers in meetings. Trent Williams is another guy that is not even in the building. So he's a guy that they are kind of worrying about.
Does Ayuk talk to people or does he keep to himself?
Oh, no, he talks to people. I walked by him on the way off the practice field. He was walking towards it, and he's like, hey, what's up, what's up? I'm like, hey, how are you? He's like, good, how are you?
Doesn't seem bothered by the whole thing, huh?
No, it's bizarre. It's totally bizarre.
When it comes to Trent Williams, where does the team stand?
they have to get it done with him. It's just, I think, working out the deal. When he signed his agreement that he's the contract that he's on now, I don't know if they knew how long he was going to play. I mean, he is an older offensive lineman. He hates being called the old guy, but he really is. He's the vet on the team. But at one point, he was contemplating retirement. So, you know, those deals that are 6 years long, you know, the last 2 years are not, there's nothing guaranteed left on his deal. So right. He wants to have guaranteed money, and no one blames him because what he does is put his body out on the line. So guaranteed money for Trent Williams is kind of a no-brainer. They just have to figure it out.
A lot of times in training camp, health is a challenge, and we hear, unfortunately, about different players tearing ACLs or blowing Achilles. How healthy are the Niners right now as they get set for their first preseason game?
Not too bad. I mean, you know, there's some young guys that got hurt. Isaac Garendo, which is their rookie running back, he got hurt. And then I also didn't see Elijah Mitchell on the field on Sunday for their third practice of the block. So they actually are going to sign Matt Breida back to the team, 8-year vet. He was an undrafted free agent with the club for the first, you know, 3 years of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan's tenure. So he's coming back. So they have a little bit of depth issues there. Another rookie wide receiver, Jacob Cowing, has a hamstring injury. So he's working his way back. So, you know, with Brandon Ayuk out, but they've got some guys there. They've got their rookie, Ricky Pearsall, Debo Samuel, obviously there, Juwan Jennings. They have Terrell Owens' son, Tariq Owens. Trent Taylor made his way back. So they have a decent amount of wide receivers, but the running back position, they had to add to it.
One of the things that I heard Kyle Shanahan say a couple weeks ago is that it's a blessing that Brock Purdy is healthy and they don't have to wait for him to be cleared medically and he's able to participate in a full offseason and now a full training camp. What do you think should be the expectations for this young QB?
I mean, unbelievable that this is his first real training camp where he's getting the starting reps. So the way he's had success without having those reps is really remarkable. So I would think now, I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's hard. It's going to be hard for him to match the statistics that he put together last year because he topped the league in so many different categories. But he's actually getting reps now. So he's getting time with the team. He's, you know, getting, and reps are so valuable for, you know, a player that's in their third season or second and a half season, really, when you look at how Brock Purdy's been in the league. So, I mean, I would think that he can only get better. And, you know, his processing is kind of one of the things that he's really good at. And there's talk that his arm strength is better just because from the UCL, he's learned how to use his body more to get more power out of his arm. So I know there's some limitations on him size-wise, arm strength-wise, but he's really one of those guys that really kind of defies the odds because he works so hard at it. There's been comparisons to him and Drew Brees, and it's something that you kind of think about when you look at him because he just puts the work in and he's such a great guy to cover, you know, solid guy that is very great to talk to and, you know, great for the locker room. They all love him.
Mm. Jennifer Lee Chan is with us from the Bay Area talking about the 49ers. And it's not just Brandon Ayuk, though right now that's casting a bit of a shadow over camp. On the other side of the ball, what changes with Nick Sorensen as defensive coordinator?
Not too much. I mean, he's been around the building, so he knows the guys. You know, the things, you know, you talked about injuries. I didn't mention the fact that Dre Greenlaw is going to miss probably 4 games. So they've got Devondre Campbell there to fill in next to Fred Warner. And then Talanoa Hufanga has been on the field. So he's kind of trying to make his way back. Goal is to be there week 1. Nick Sorensen knows these guys. I think one of the interesting additions to this defense is Brandon Staley. So Staley's been around. He's been really hands-on with a lot of the defensive backs and safeties. And I think, you know, sometimes guys are more cut out to be coordinators and position coaches than they are head coaches. And I think, you know, I spoke to him actually today and he said, yes, it's so much fun to really get to coach these guys. Head coach, he said, he used the word global. Being a head coach is global, but getting down into it, you know, getting his hands on players and really seeing the results of what he's worked with them on has been really gratifying for him.
Did you cross paths with Patrick Willis when you first started covering the team?
Yes, yes. Love Patrick Willis. I actually, one of my first forays into covering the NFL was covering Patrick Willis's pro camp where he had about 300 kids at a high school and he was going around to each group, you know, try to work on drills with kids from age 5 to age 12. So, I mean, he's just such a great guy. And to know what adversity he faced in his life, you know, being the big brother to his younger brother and sister, and, you know, getting him out of the house where there was an abusive father and raising them, and then the tragedy of losing his brother who drowned. I mean, just everything that he's faced in life, and he's just such an amazingly wonderful person, because I think people in that type of situation can either go down one path where they, you know, are just angry at the world forever for the situation that they've been dealt, or they go the other way. And that's what Patrick Willis is. And he's just such a stand-up guy and so much fun to talk to. And man, changed the way the linebacking position was played. So, I mean, I think he really deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm so happy for him.
One of those situations where he's a better man than he is player, which is saying something about a Hall of Famer. As we move forward then, Jennifer, are you even allowed to sleep? What happens if news breaks while you doze off?
I am going to sleep. We have another day of training camp tomorrow. So Kyle Shanahan's going to address the media. That should be very interesting. So.
Ooh, glad that we got the lowdown, though, especially since it's up to the minute. Thank you so much. At Jennifer Lee Chan, and she covers the Niners now over a decade. So she's entrenched there for NBC Sports in the Bay Area. It's always good to catch up with you. We'll be looking for these reports about Ayuk. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Amy. Great to talk to you.
Up to the minute. That's what you get when you listen to After Hours. We always have the best guests. We're glad to get Jennifer, especially after a really busy Monday. Online at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too, we're asking you if blank were an Olympic sport, in which one would you capture gold every time? Thanks for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Talking a little bit of football gives me some juice, actually. I've missed it. Now, it's okay because we're going to be hot and heavy, as I've mentioned. Emphasis on the hot because it's still dog days of summer. But we're going to get into football in the days and weeks that follow these Olympic Games. And it will become really the primary focus of a lot of the rest of August on into the, let's see, it's the, what is it, the 5th?
6th.
Which, oh, I thought the 5th. Oh, you
fifth
mean...
5th was Monday. 6th.
Right, no. 5th meaning September is the day when the NFL kicks off. Well, you confused me there for a second.
You see how tired I am.
Okay. September 5th is when the season kicks off. It's the Thursday night. So we are now inside of a month until the NFL season commences. And week one, that Sunday week one, is September 8th. So we're getting there. Which means we have a lot of quarterback battles that have yet to be decided. Certainly some of these contract situations and the two for the Niners that we just spoke about with Jennifer Lee Chan. Brandon Ayuk could end up being traded. He could be a Brown or a Patriot before the week is done. Trent Williams still doesn't have a signed contract either. Hassan Reddick, another one who is not in camp. So there's a lot still of personnel situations that must be settled. And even something like the Jordan Addison situation with the Vikings, who's now been charged with DUI. There's a lot of real estate left. We haven't gotten to any of these 3 weeks of preseason yet. So that will consume time. Although I try to reserve judgment on preseason, my general theory is the more you win in preseason, the less you will win during the regular season. And then it becomes both a marathon and a sprint, right? So there's going to be a lot to talk about. We'll do some fun questions about the NFL season. And maybe by the end of the month, we'll have a full-time producer in place, and we'll be able to make some videos as well about the upcoming season. But yeah, it's coming. It's coming quickly, and college football starts even earlier than does the NFL. But for now, I'm really enjoying what is an aberration that we only get every few years. Now, we had Tokyo in 21. We get these Olympics back on schedule in Paris now in 24. We'll have LA in 28 when it comes to the summer games. Winter games, of course, in a couple more years. But I really do enjoy the injection of energy into the summer. because these have been so much fun to watch. And we're going to talk more about the Olympics after the update. I wanted you to hear from Simone Biles and also Jordan Chiles and that situation that played out to wrap up the gymnastics events. It was very dramatic. And I hesitate to use the phrase that I do really love, which is thrill of victory and agony of defeat, because the Romanian gymnast, she had a bronze and was celebrating that. Romania used to be a power in gymnastics and hasn't had much success for years. And so she gets on the podium with the floor routine and wins a bronze medal, only to then find out in shock, the way the rest of the arena did, that an inquiry had been lodged by Jordan Chiles' coaches. And it was not like they got an indication from the judges that the number was being changed. They didn't find out about it privately first. Oh no, the score flashed up on the board for everybody in the arena to see. So the reactions from Jordan's parents, well, from Jordan, number one, from Jordan, Simone, her coaches, the reaction from her parents, her teammates who were sitting in the stands, Jade Carey, Hesley Rivera, and even Suni Lee, who had competed earlier on the balance beam, they were in shock. Even Tom Brady had this whoa expression when it became evident that the score was changed and Jordan had, in fact, leapfrogged over the Romanian gymnast to capture the bronze. So all the American fans are thrilled, in addition to just the shock value of it all. But the Romanian gymnast is left in tears. As you can imagine, she's got her flag. She's celebrating. She's hugging her teammates and her coaches. And then all of a sudden, a new score and a new tier flashes up on the screen. And she's left in disbelief and, of course, sadness. So I wanted you to hear from Simone Biles as well as Jordan Chiles. And then thinking about the basketball that will take place on Tuesday. A little bit of a preview there. And Draymond Green, who's not part of the Olympic roster, but has to weigh in, of course. Never a dull moment in Draymond's world. And if there is a dull moment, he's going to figure out a way to manufacture some kind of drama. If blank were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every time. Nathan stole mine. Nathan's response, making chili. All right, does that mean I have to go with something else? Or are Nathan and I going to match up and try to do a chili contest for gold?
So you got to compete with people in parallel parking and making chili now.
Right, so I think with parallel parking, I could probably do it as long as it's not a Dodge Ram. But I think the idea would be if it were Olympic sport, they just give you a vehicle and you have to park it. You don't get to know ahead of time. Yeah, although that maybe that's harder. Not fair. Maybe you do end up getting to practice. For instance, the gymnasts, they practice on the apparatus. They know what they have to do when they get there. But I think the sneak attack, the surprise element of the parallel parking would make it that much more difficult if it's a vehicle that you don't know ahead of time.
Yeah, of course. It'll make it much more interesting.
So parallel parking, yes. But I think cooking, baking, baking my island cookies.
Yeah, I do remember it. I have tried, I think, when you brought in before, so they are very good.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate that. It's been a few years, but I certainly have added even more recipes to my repertoire, my portfolio, if you will. But Nathan, that's a good one. I was going to use that, but now I might have to go with one of my different answers. I might have to pivot, if you will. I love this one from Phil on Twix. If forgetting someone's name as soon as they tell me we're an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every time. So A-Law Radio on our Facebook page too. Whew. Sorry, I just got captured by a yawn. That's terrible. I never do that on the air. If staying up late and hosting a radio show were an Olympic sport, no one would have more practice than me, except for maybe Art Bell.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Never, ever, ever taking a pause. Never hitting the brakes. Drive it like you stole it. Something like that. Am I even close?
Hi, Amy. Love the show.
Hi.
I listen to you every night on the way home.
Amy, you doing your own thing with your own swag.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate the therapy tonight.
Oh, I'm glad I could help, Lee.
I just got home. Just want to let you know how big of a fan I am because I've been sitting in my car listening to your show, waiting to talk to you on the phone for about 30 minutes now.
Take me home tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And now I'm worried because I am one of those people that yawns when other people yawn or yawns even when someone suggests yawning. My brother used to torture me on road trips when we were kids. Because he would pretend, just pretend, he would open his mouth like maybe a half inch and pretend that he was yawning, and it would send me into a fit of yawns myself. So I am definitely a contagious yawner, and I just yawned on the air mid-word a few minutes ago. No way to cover it up. I was caught. There was no way to fib and pretend like I just, I don't know, lost my train of thought. So I apologize because if sleeping were an Olympic sport, I would finish dead last every time. I'm a terrible sleeper. I blame my mom. It comes from her side of the family. My husband is also not a great sleeper. So between the two of us, I think we might set the world record for yawns in the first year of being married. So I apologize for yawning, but now the problem is I'm thinking about it. And so now I'm worried that I'm going to somehow start yawning and be unable to stop. So maybe that should be the Olympic sport. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Please fill in the blank. If blank were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every time. We want to know, what is your special talent? Online at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. And then our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I am pleased that no one has yet pretended that you could be a gymnast in the Olympics. And really, none of us can hold a candle to Simone Biles. None of us can hold a candle to this Team USA. They are the best in the world, as proven by the Paris Olympics again. And now that it's all said and done, even though Simone fell off the balance beam, as did Suni Lee, and really most of the top balance beamers in the world had some type of a fall during the individual event finals. And so Simone did not medal in that event, neither did Suni, but she did come back. And despite a couple moments where she stepped out of bounds on the floor routine, she held on to silver. It was Rebeca Andrade from Brazil who won the floor exercise. Simone was silver. And then in the controversy that I've talked about, it was a Jordan Chiles bronze, but only after delay because of an inquiry lodged by her coaches. So she wins her first ever individual medal, but it comes after the judges change her score. And as I've understood now that I've been reading about it and listening a little more, you can only petition to change the start value. And the start value is based on elements that are built into the routine that the judges know about beforehand, right? So they know what your routine is supposed to include, which means if you change your routine, they can then dock you points for different elements if you didn't complete them or if you didn't complete them correctly. And so every routine is submitted ahead of time with the various elements that have names that are labeled, and each gymnast is assigned a start value based on the elements that are supposed to appear in these routines. Again, if you take them out, if you eliminate them, or you fall doing one of these elements, then you don't get the points and they don't get included in your routine. So what the coaches for Team USA did They lodged an inquiry. That's what it's officially called. Essentially a petition. They lodged a petition and asked for Jordan's start value to be upgraded based on an element they thought she did not get credit for. So an element they believed she should have points for, or a tenth of a point for, that wasn't included in her start value. I sound like an expert now, only because I've done some reading. She didn't even realize it at the time, and no one realized the score change until it flashed up on the big board in the arena, which of course meant she, her coaches, Simone Biles, the American fans inside the arena went nutso, including her parents and her teammates, but the Romanian gymnast was left in tears, shock and disbelief as her bronze medal was taken away, and she cried. No doubt most humans in that situation would do the same. But Jordan didn't receive favoritism. This was nothing that she did that would be outside of the rules, obviously. Her coaches were the ones that felt like her start value wasn't as high as it should have been. And so they lodged an inquiry, and they were correct. The judges recognized their error and added a tenth of a point. And because the competition was that close, she was able to win the bronze. So pretty incredible. Her emotion, she looked like a soccer player who just scored a walk-off goal in stoppage time. Not that you walk off the field, but just scored a goal in stoppage time for a big win because she ran down the side of the gymnastics floor and then fell over with her flag and ends up, got it down there on the floor until her coach lifts her up and says, come on, stand up. And then it was really neat, just the joy on her face.
It was overwhelming while I was sitting in the back gym waiting to warm up, but going out onto the competition floor and being the last person to go, from me stepping onto the floor, starting my routine to the finish, I was like so nervous. I didn't know what to do. After my first pass, all I was thinking in my head was like, Jordan, you better just keep your feet on the ground, please. That's all I ask. But, you know, at the end of the day, when that, I was so tired, I didn't even realize my coach has put an inquiry in, and I was like, okay, yeah, like, let's see, it can vary. So when it came through, I was like very proud of myself. You know, it was my first event final and my first event medal. Like, this is crazy. So I was just very proud of myself. But again, like Simone was saying, it's been a very long week. Whether I was out onto the competition for these past weeks or, you know, these days or not. So just proud.
I felt like that was something we heard a lot over the last couple days and maybe needs to be underscored. These athletes have been competing. The top athletes, Simone, Rebecca Andraghi, the Italian, Alicia is her name. Some of the others, Suni Lee, certainly Jordan Chiles coming back and participating in this individual floor exercise final. But in the arena, every time any member of Team USA competed, they spent long, long hours inside that building. And we've heard about the cardboard beds. We've heard about the fact that the food isn't the best, not to mention the anxiety, some of the stress. In Simone's case, doing an interview with Mike Tirico after the competition was done, she was wearing a boot. So she's in a walking boot now, even though she had kind of shrugged off the calf muscle that was giving her problems, tweaking her calf. She'd had it rewrapped a few times and she was competing with it wrapped. But this is the first time we've seen her in a walking boot. So yeah, tired both mentally and physically. And yet she walks away with 3 gold and a silver in the floor exercise. 11 total Olympic medals now for Simone Biles. And remember, with the walk away in Tokyo with the fact that she was unable to compete for most of those Tokyo games, this is quite the redemption.
I've accomplished way more than my wildest dreams, not just at this Olympics, but in the sport. So I can't be mad at my performances. A couple years ago, I didn't think I'd be back here at an Olympic game. So competing and then walking away with 4 medals, I'm not mad about it. I'm pretty proud of myself, and it's always so exciting to compete.
I'm sure the question was because of her facial expression after the balance beam when she fell off. She was pretty ticked at herself knowing that it was a near perfect routine except for the one fall that she had. And as for Team USA, all around gold and just an incredible experience for this group that was mostly there for Tokyo.
Definitely a redemption tour. I mean, we did, I think personally, Team USA did such an amazing job out here on the gymnastics floor. So I can't, there's nothing, I don't know, there's nothing left. We did our job. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's hard, but we did it.
Congratulations to Simone and Suni, who I just love. She's 21. I hope that she will continue to compete, having had to relearn everything after the two kidney illnesses and putting on the 40 pounds and being out of gymnastics. She had to retire at Auburn because she wasn't sure she'd ever compete again. And she's back in the Olympics. She ends up winning an all-around gold and also ends up with the bronze in the individual all-around, as well as a bronze on uneven bars, where a few months ago, she had no idea whether or not she'd be able to compete in these Olympics. Jordan Chiles and Jade Carey both winning individual medals. Hesley Rivera, the 16-year-old who gets valuable experience. USA! USA! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. No one would have more practice than me, except for maybe Art Bell.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Never, ever, ever taking a pause. Never hitting the brakes. Drive it like you stole it. Something like that. Am I even close?
Hi, Amy. Love the show.
Hi.
I listen to you every night on the way home.
Amy, hey, you doing your own thing with your own swag.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate the therapy tonight.
Oh, I'm glad I could help, Lee.
I just got home. Just want to let you know how big of a fan I am because I've been sitting in my car listening to your show, waiting to talk to you on the phone for about 30 minutes now.
Take me home tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And now I'm worried because I am one of those people that yawns when other people yawn or yawns even when someone suggests yawning. My brother used to torture me on road trips when we were kids. Because he would pretend, just pretend, he would open his mouth like maybe a half inch and pretend that he was yawning, and it would send me into a fit of yawns myself. So I am definitely a contagious yawner, and I just yawned on the air mid-word a few minutes ago. No way to cover it up. I was caught. There was no way to fib and pretend like I just, I don't know, lost my train of thought. So I apologize because if sleeping were an Olympic sport, I would finish dead last every time. I'm a terrible sleeper. I blame my mom. It comes from her side of the family. My husband is also not a great sleeper. So between the two of us, I think we might set the world record for yawns in the first year of being married. So I apologize for yawning, but now the problem is I'm thinking about it. And so now I'm worried that I'm going to somehow start yawning and be unable to stop. So maybe that should be the Olympic sport. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Please fill in the blank. If blank were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every time. We want to know, what is your special talent? Online at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too, and then our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I am pleased that no one has yet pretended that you could be a gymnast in the Olympics. And really, none of us can hold a candle to Simone Biles. None of us can hold a candle to this Team USA. They are the best in the world, as proven by the Paris Olympics again. And now that it's all said and done, even though Simone fell off the balance beam, as did Suni Lee, and really most of the top balance beamers in the world had some type of a fall during the individual event finals. And so Simone did not medal in that event, neither did Suni, but she did come back. And despite a couple moments where she stepped out of bounds on the floor routine, she held on to silver. It was Rebecca Andrade from Brazil who won the floor exercise. Simone was silver. And then in the controversy that I've talked about, it was a Jordan Chiles bronze, but only after delay because of an inquiry lodged by her coaches. So she wins her first ever individual medal, but it comes after the judges change her score. And as I've understood now that I've been reading about it and listening a little more, you can only petition to change the start value. And the start value is based on elements that are built into the routine that the judges know about beforehand, right? So they know what your routine is supposed to include, which means if you change your routine, they can then dock you points for different elements if you didn't complete them or if you didn't complete them correctly. And so every routine is submitted ahead of time with the various elements that have names that are labeled, and each gymnast is assigned a start value based on the elements that are supposed to appear in these routines. Again, if you take them out, if you eliminate them, or you fall doing one of these elements, then you don't get the points and they don't get included in your routine. So what the coaches for Team USA did, they lodged an inquiry. That's what it's officially called, essentially a petition. They lodged a petition and asked for Jordan's start value to be upgraded based on an element they thought she did not get credit for. So an element they believed she should have points for, or a tenth of a point for, that wasn't included in her start value. I sound like an expert now, only because I've done some reading. She didn't even realize it at the time, and no one realized the score change until it flashed up on the big board in the arena, which of course meant she, her coaches, Simone Biles, the American fans inside the arena went nutso, including her parents and her teammates, but the Romanian gymnast was left in tears, shock and disbelief as her bronze medal was taken away, and she cried. No doubt most humans in that situation would do the same. But Jordan didn't receive favoritism. This was nothing that she did that would be outside of the rules, obviously. Her coaches were the ones that felt like her start value wasn't as high as it should have been. And so they lodged an inquiry, and they were correct. The judges recognized their error and added a tenth of a point. And because the competition was that close, she was able to win the bronze. So pretty incredible. Her emotion, she looked like a soccer player who just scored a walk-off goal in stoppage time. Not that you walk off the field, but just scored a goal in stoppage time for a big win because she ran down the side of the gymnastics floor and then fell over with her flag and ends up, got it down there on the floor until her coach lifts her up and says, come on, stand up. And then it was really neat, just the joy on her face.
It was overwhelming while I was sitting in the back gym waiting to warm up, but going out onto the competition floor and being the last person to go, from me stepping onto the floor, starting my routine to the finish, I was like so nervous. I didn't know what to do. After my first pass, all I was thinking in my head was like, Jordan, you better just keep your feet on the ground, please. That's all I ask. But, you know, at the end of the day, when I was so tired, I didn't even realize my coaches put an inquiry in, and I was like, okay, yeah, like, let's see, it can vary. So when it came through, I was like very proud of myself. You know, it was my first event final and my first event medal. Like, this is crazy. So I was just very proud of myself. But again, like Simone was saying, it's been a very long week. Whether I was out onto the competition floor these past weeks or, you know, these days or not. So just proud.
I felt like that was something we heard a lot over the last couple days and maybe needs to be underscored. These athletes have been competing. The top athletes, Simone, Rebecca Andrade, the Italian, Alicia is her name. Some of the others, Suni Lee, certainly Jordan Chiles coming back and participating in this individual floor exercise final, but in the arena, every time any member of Team USA competed, they spent long, long hours inside that building. And we've heard about the cardboard beds. We've heard about the fact that the food isn't the best, not to mention the anxiety, some of the stress. In Simone's case, doing an interview with Mike Tirico after the competition was done, she was wearing a boot. So she's in a walking boot now, even though she had kind of shrugged off the calf muscle that was giving her problems, tweaking her calf. She'd had it re-wrapped a few times and she was competing with it wrapped. But this is the first time we've seen her in a walking boot. So yeah, tired both mentally and physically. And yet she walks away with 3 gold and a silver in the floor exercise. 11 total Olympic medals now for Simone Biles. And remember, with the walk away in Tokyo, with the fact that she was unable to compete for most of those Tokyo games, this is quite the redemption.
I've accomplished way more than my wildest dreams, not just at this Olympics, but in the sport. So I can't be mad at my performances. A couple years ago, I didn't think I'd be back here at an Olympic game. So competing and then walking away with 4 medals, I'm not mad about it. I'm pretty proud of myself, and it's always so exciting to compete.
I'm sure the question was because of her facial expression after the balance beam when she fell off. She was pretty ticked at herself knowing that it was a near perfect routine except for the one fall that she had. And as for Team USA, all around gold and just an incredible experience for this group that was mostly there for Tokyo.
Definitely a redemption tour. I mean, I think personally, Team USA did such an amazing job out here on the gymnastics floor. There's nothing left. We did our job. You know what I'm saying? It's hard, but we did it.
Congratulations to Simone and Suni, who I just love. She's 21. I hope that she will continue to compete, having had to relearn everything after the 2 kidney illnesses and putting on the 40 pounds and being out of gymnastics. She had to retire at Auburn because she wasn't sure she'd ever compete again. And she's back in the Olympics. She ends up winning an all-around gold and also ends up with the bronze in the individual all-around, as well as a bronze on uneven bars, where a few months ago, she had no idea whether or not she'd be able to compete in these Olympics. Jordan Chiles and Jade Carey both winning individual medals. Hesley Rivera, the 16-year-old who gets valuable experience. USA! USA! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.